Jesus saying to Peter, when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I wonder, what do we make of Peter? What do we make of him? Peter was always upfront, rough and ready, perhaps impulsive. And we need to remind ourselves perhaps of Peter's CV. Well, it's not so much his CV as his managerial record recorded by the Gospels. He was a fisherman. Was he the co-owner of his boat with Andrew? Or was it a wider company? Were James and John partners in the business as well? That we don't know. But there were three times when Peter recognized Jesus as the Son of God. In Luke chapter 5, row out a bit, said Jesus. And he sat down in Peter's boat and addressed the crowd. Now then, row out and cast your nets, said Jesus afterwards. But Lord, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But since it's you, we'll do it. And they caught so many fish, the net began to break. And they called their partners to help. And then Peter said to Jesus, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Truly, you are the Son of God. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch fish for me, said Jesus. And then there was the time when there was the storm on the sea. And they saw Jesus walking to them on the water. And Peter said, can I come to you? And when he saw the wind as he was on the water, he was afraid and began to sink. And he shouted, Lord, save me. But back in the boat, he worshipped Jesus. Truly, you are the Son of God. And then in Matthew 16, they were in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked the disciples, who do people at large say the Son of Man is? And Peter replied, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is not revealed to you by flesh and blood, said Jesus, but my Father in heaven. You are Peter, and on the rock I will build my church. And then Jesus predicted his death. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to tell him off. This will never happen to you. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. You don't have the concerns of God on your mind, but only human concerns. Peter, up front, saying what was on his mind. And then at the Transfiguration, it was Peter who said, let's make three shelters for Jesus, for Moses, and Elijah. And a little bit later on, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven? And Jesus replied, move it up to 70 times seven. And then in John 13, Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. You'll never wash my feet, said Peter. And Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And then Peter said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Peter, always up front. I wonder how much that reflects on us. If not with each other, maybe on our individual walk with the Lord. And then after Jesus was arrested, Peter drew his sword. and cut off the servants of the high priest's ear. And Jesus said to him, put your sword back. And Jesus touched the man's ear and healed him. And Peter followed at a distance. He went into the courtyard of Herod's palace. And the servant girl said to him, you were with Jesus. I never was, he said. And those standing around said, of course, you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. And Peter, cursing and swearing, said, I don't know the man. But then the cock crowed. And Peter remembered Jesus saying, you'll deny me three times before the cock crowed. And cursing and swearing, Peter went out and wept bitterly. So we come to the time in our reading when the seven disciples by the Sea of Galilee had been fishing. Peter, I'm going fishing. Where was he in his loyalty, shall we say? Was the call of the business bringing him back? Or was it just something to do while they were waiting for Jesus to show them the next thing? They caught nothing. And then coming back, the stranger on the shore said, guys, have you caught anything? Throw the net on the right side. And of course, as we heard, there were so many fish, they couldn't handle the nets. But this time they didn't break. And John recognized, it's the Lord. And Peter threw some clothes on, jumped overboard, and went to meet Jesus and also to help. And they had the barbecue breakfast, bread and fish. But then came that key moment. What's on Jesus' managerial assessment for us? We've had successes, I'm sure, maybe only modest, but as we remember them, we can thank God. But then there's our failures. Failures to do what the Lord had called us to do with a certain person at a certain time, in a certain situation. And how does Jesus see us? How do we see ourselves? And Jesus says to us, do you love me as much as these? Did he mean the fishing, the boats and the fish? It's possible. Are there things that challenge us in the sense that, given half a chance, they might overwhelm our loyalty for Christ, and we love the other things more than him? And then in that key conversation, do you love me more than these? He doesn't come and say, now what on earth do you think you're doing? Look, you've done this and you've done that and you're my disciple. No, he doesn't haul him over the coals. He asks him about loving him. And again, we need to remember that agape, the Greek word in the New Testament for love, means being willing. It's more than feeling. It's more than emotion. It's that willingness to give and to give ourselves in the name of Christ. Which comes first in the pecking order for Peter? Fishing, or fellowship with the disciples and with Jesus, and doing what Jesus wants him to do. And the same with us. What's the order of importance for our lives. And Peter then said to Jesus, "You know I love you." "Feed my lambs," said Jesus. There's the commission. There's the job. There's the role. Feed my lambs. And then he was asked a second time, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Take care of my sheep. Look after my people." And in that we can also say that there are folk around who are not yet part of Jesus' flock. And the role is to bring them in so that they become part of the flock. And then the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter was hurt. Maybe his denials and failures were coming back. 3 times the questions were asked. 3 times Jesus was denied by Peter. "I don't know him." And that was in Peter's mind. "Feed my sheep," said Jesus. And then he goes on to say, "When you were younger, you did things. But when you're older, things will be done to you." And here we have a little prophecy that says, "Peter, you're going to work for me, but you're going to give up your life for me in what you're doing for me." And history tells us that Peter was in fact crucified. Then he saw John coming. What about him? And Professor William Barclay has an interesting comment here. He says that Peter's function was to shepherd the sheep of Christ and at the end to die for Christ. John's function was to witness for Christ, to live to a great age and come to the end in peace. John was an old man when he wrote Revelation. And it's a case of we mustn't mind what someone else's job is. Not in terms of the weekly wage, but in terms of the life of the fellowship and the mission of Jesus to society. Christ has put us where we are, and we need to get on with what he's calling us to do. We're in fellowship together. We can support one another. But what he gives to us individually is to us. Maybe somebody helps us as well. But the important thing is to do what Jesus is calling us to do within the fellowship of the church and within the mission of Christ. And we need to ask ourselves, are we recognizing the work of our brothers and sisters in the fellowship? We're partners in the same team. Partners in the same team, each with a different role to do. Perhaps working together, perhaps working in quite different ways, but doing Jesus' work and supporting one another in prayer and in fellowship. Peter, do you love me more than these? And he addresses us by name. Do you love me more than these? Whatever these may be. Our daily work, our family, our recreation, our hobbies, our sport, whatever, which comes first? That's the key question And we can only answer that for ourselves. But with Peter, we can say, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep is the reply. Let's